Access granted.
Subject: interview with Brian Flynn from Super 7. Body: on the 20th of January 2023, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, was tasked with the mission of interviewing the awesome Brian Flynn from Super 7 about their brand new wave of G.I. Joe reaction figures. Here's what we could show you from that G14 classified recording.
Access granted.
Hello and welcome to The Full Force Redacted, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. On the show today, I have managed to convince, for a third time, the awesome Brian Flynn from Super 7 to join me for a chat about the brand new wave of reaction figures that are available for order on Super7.com as we speak. Link in the description. Brian, thank you so much for spending the time to do this with me again. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back on. I mean, we get to just nerd out and talk toys.
So. I know. This is the best. This is one of those things where, well, more so this time in actual fact, because there's a very interesting drop that you've added to the most recent wave, which is kind of sort of related to what's going on in my background, but you know, yeah. Not the exact same, but we'll get
so
to that.
We'll talk about your background later.
Yes, we will. We'll have a little conversation about this. Absolutely. Yep. Right. First off then, bud, how is everything at Super 7? How are you doing? Are you busy beyond belief at the moment?
We are busy. Things are good. I'm very excited because I can pull up the other sheet of paper here. G.I. Joe is coming in, will be in my warehouse March 10. It has left the factory.
Wow.
So Ultimates have left the factory. They're on the water. G.I. Joe Wave 2 Ultimates, they left on 119.
Yeah.
And the target date that we are saying that they will be out in customers' hands then is March 10.
Wow.
So it takes, you know, till the end of February to get here. It takes a little over a month, and then, you know, a week or two to get them out into people's hands. So March 10, but that G.I. Joe Wave 2 looks like it's going to be April.
Wow.
So it took a long time, but I think when those Ultimates get into people's hands, they are going to be very excited because I've got them in my hands and they're incredible. But you didn't even ask me about the Ultimates. You said, what's going on? And I changed the subject. Just avoided it like that.
That's great. You've basically attacked one of the questions I had for you. So that is brilliant. Sure. That's out of the way now. So, I mean, what was the, can you go into any more details about the holdups that you guys had? Was it like engineering issues? Was it delays? I mean, what was the
there's
situation?
A little bit that happens on every line where wave one of every line just takes, unfortunately it shouldn't, but always seems to take so much longer than it needs to.
Yeah.
And we're still dealing with the fact that we can't go to the factory physically.
Right.
So even if I'm making a minor change to a leg, just to the joint tolerance, it's still like the factory has to do it, put it in a box, mail it to me. I've got to get it. I've got to look at it, then say, no, change this again. And it just slows.
Yeah.
It's really that last 10%, that fine tuning. Like the first 90% goes really fast.
Right.
That last 10% can take forever.
Yeah. And I suppose like you don't want any like issues that might be recurring, and like you want to kind of iron everything out, like all the little details as much as possible, don't you?
Every little thing, you know, because once you kind of got your articulation,
yeah,
you know, we're making, you know, new discs, new everything for these figures. Like you got to make sure everything's exactly right, so that if you're going to have everything match, it's got to be just on point. It's just frustrating. Let's just put it that way. For everybody at home, it's incredibly frustrating. You're like, come on, I just need you to do this. Like, and a lot of it also comes down to color.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, this is olive green, but it's not the olive green. I need this olive green to be one shade lighter. Oh, it's one shade lighter, but now it's slightly yellow. All right. Well, now we need to make it more green. Well, now it's more of an ochre. I don't need an ochre. It's all this little, but if I'm at the factory, I can say this color is
Yeah.
They go upstairs, make a new sample, repaint, bring that, it down. It takes about an hour.
Yeah.
Because you got to let the paint dry and everything else like that. It takes about an hour to make that color change. Me making that color change here, you know, it's
a couple of weeks, isn't it?
5 days, 6 days, every color change.
Yeah.
And
because you can't really, you couldn't really monitor it over a Zoom call or something because you don't get the right.
No, because lighting is different.
Yeah, exactly.
Your screen is different. Yeah. So, you know, if I'm under fluorescent lighting, everything's got a yellow tint to it. If I'm under LED lighting, everything's got a blue tint to it. You know, but then I'm looking at it on a monitor. Is my monitor dark? Is my monitor light? Does it have a hue? Plus, it's coming, you know, it just, so every paint thing has come over, and every G.I. Joe person will tell you if they get it over and like, oh, that camo's off by one shade. The whole thing's wrong. The whole thing's wrong. Just might as well have thrown it out the window. Might as well just not even bothered.
You know, is there a pile of figures outside your window by chance? Just like on the
there
street.
There are piles of figures all over.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Piles of figures over there.
I would love to spend the day at Super 7 just rooting around and looking at what cool stuff was around.
That'll be a podcast once. It's Christopher McLeod's trip to Super 7. It's like, can I just dig in boxes? Yeah. What is this?
But you won't let me, so I'll have to break in at night or something with a light.
It's not true. I wouldn't be enjoying, because then it would be somebody looking at the same stuff I look at with old eyes as new eyes. They're like, oh my God, look at this.
There's nothing wrong with this olive green, Brian. What are you talking about? No, I can't wait. I'm coming over. I'll be there in a few minutes.
I panned over to things. The funny part is I panned over to there and I might have to have you blur that out.
I will. Don't worry.
There's something over there that isn't announced and released. That's for Halloween.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. I will. Yeah, don't worry. I will doctor that.
Anything that looks orange over there, blur it.
That's amazing. Okay, good start to the good. Really good start, actually. This is the best start to an interview I think I've ever had in my life. So thank you very much for that, Brian.
Back to the wave that just dropped.
Let's just talk. So exactly.
Last time we talked, you were like, "Are you ever going to do anything with Palitoy?" And of course, I couldn't. And I said, "I can't speak to that."
Was that happening, or did you?
Completely.
I wasn't sure if you added it after. I'm not saying that I was the catalyst for it at all.
No. I mean, but think about product development being 12 to 15 months,
right,
minimum on reaction right now because we can't get to the factory. So. Yes, that wasn't planned for a long
time. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
If I'm oversimplifying it to a degree, especially with retailers, you know, there's a thing where I tried to look at and say, okay, how do I have a Cobra Commander in every wave?
Sure.
But not make it just a Cobra Commander. You know? And that's where Red Laser comes in.
Yeah.
It's Cobra Commander, but it's not Cobra Commander.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, that's great. You've literally barrel rolled into Red Laser. Let's get stuck into that. So, I mean, great to see this one. A massive surprise. It was really just getting, like you say, like getting a Cobra Commander in the line. But not just that, but there's some of the details that you added as well to like the actual release when it kind of came out the other day. It's so great to see the name drops on the file card. Baron Ironblood, Laser Exterminator stands out, of course. Does this open the door for more of these, Brian? Or was this like you say, because there was like an element of ease with it, in not ease, but you know what I mean? Like it's like the Cobra Commander figure in the line is going to be Red Laser. Or does it open the door for like a Baron Ironblood or a more unique kind of figure?
I would say that we definitely have some other stuff, you know, in the future. Now, you're going to have to wait a little while.
Yeah, sure.
But there's some other stuff in the future. Yes.
Dude.
Because, I mean, it's bringing it all together. You know, it's trying to say this is all one world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's also, you know, and it's something we've done with other lines in the past. I think it's important when you're talking to collectors at this point to say that the world of these toy lines is... I probably should have used a different word than world, so I don't use the word world again, but I'm going to use the word world, which is a tongue twister again. But it's like the rest of the world's interpretations of a license are equally just as valid as the American version. Because everybody is just like, well, it's the American version, American version, American version. It's like, well, let's not be dismissive of the UK version or the Argentina version or the India version or, you know, what, you know, all over. It's all of these things are part of the greater whole.
Mm.
So when we get into these lines, I like to bring in moments where we're looking all over the place at things that aren't expected. That's why, you know, you see us, you know, we brought in Ninja Ku and Ninja Viper and into the line. And it's like, oh, wait, is that official? Official? Like, you know, it's like, it's always been part of G.I. Joe. It just was regional.
Yeah.
And I want to celebrate those regional amazing characters just as much as I want to the standard core characters.
Sure. No, that's fantastic. And I'm really excited that Red Laser kind of is the one that you kind of started with. Another thing I really liked as well, more of a detail on the card back again, is the Sunbow style artwork for the file card. Like it's kind of fun to imagine Red Laser and the Red Shadows and that Palutoid Action Force having its own animation. I know we had a few animated commercials back in the day, but it was mainly around like the Robo Skull and like the, you know, those kind of things. But did you approach it that way of like a Sunbow-esque type feel? Yeah. Is that, yeah.
That's the whole line is theoretically at this point, like this is what, if the cartoon had come to life as toys, this is what it would look like. And then here's how Red Laser fits into that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Was there any consideration to maybe look at the Battle Action Force comics for, you know, for Red Laser stuff? Or is that the idea now? Is it to incorporate the kind of Sunbow as the kind of main thing?
I think it just made sense with everything else. I think it would have looked out of context without that. So we just went Sunbow.
Yeah. And I suppose it kind of every figure's had that to a degree, haven't they, so far? I can't think of any. Yeah, I can't think of many that haven't had that. That's great. I mean, another thing that makes me excited about this more than anything else, actually, is the fact that he's not a special one-off. He's not an exclusive. He's actually in the wave, the main wave of figures. I kind of never really expected that to happen for a figure like this. I mean, was it planned that way or did you have other ideas?
No, it was always planned that way.
Yeah.
It was always planned that way.
Is there any, I mean, because I mean, obviously there's a lot of things like, you know, like you say, the Ninja Ku and Ninja Viper and those kind of things. They're like repaints of the kind of main character, but they're your Target exclusive or, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So was it just a case of like, no, this one's going to be mainline, no worries?
Yeah. It's Red Laser. What more do you need?
Or the entire Red Shadows and all of the...
Okay, fine.
And all of the action, the Palutoid Action Force. No, I'm kidding. It's awesome, man. It's so cool. Well, as well as Red Laser, you guys also have gone absolutely crazy with this. This wave, I think, is my favorite so far because there's such an array of different kind of characters. There's specific, like, you know, Sunbow episode characters in there. There's kind of main characters in there that kind of cover all sorts of different things. There's, you know, the army builders as well with the camo trooper and the MP. Do you aim to have a balance like that with each wave, or am I overthinking it? Or do you just go, it's going to be whatever?
No. I mean, it's a grand architect. That doesn't come out right. But we spend a lot of time structuring out the waves. Obviously, we've got, you know, it's centered around the idea that there's four Cobra and four Joe. And then within that, it's like, what's your balance between what are those core characters that people will buy? So you're not just making very deep cuts, but at the same time, then also making sure we make deep cuts for the fans and also support an army building program sort of all together. So if you almost think about it like, okay, there's eight figures, four slots are for, you know, Cobra and four slots are for Joe. Then within those four slots, you've got two main characters, one deep cut and an army builder. And that's roughly how we've laid out the line.
We kind of mentioned it a little bit before about the kind of cartoon aspect. Sunbow's quite strong in this one. Early on in the line, obviously, we had Quinn from the comic. We had a couple of issue 21 Snake Eyes kind of homages. Is there an opportunity to go back to the comics at some point in the future? Or is that something you're looking at?
We've got a bunch of comic book characters kind of, you know, marked off. The reality is we have like 800 figures marked off. It's just how many waves can we get into and how quickly can we get them out without overwhelming people?
Sure.
You know, there's definitely, I think there's a little bit right now where people are like, I love this. You're making them a little too fast for me.
First you get complaints that it's not coming quick enough, and now you're getting complaints that it's too fast. People are never happy, are they? Let's face it.
It's not even that it's never happy. It's just, you know, I want it to be fun and for people, and I want them to be able to collect it. And if I'll make it as fast as people will let me. And if people are like, I need a little bit more time, then I think that's a fair request.
Yeah. Is that something that happened actually then? Because I feel like there was a little bit of a break between wave 4 and wave 5, more so than I think had happened in the past. So that was something that you'd actively done then.
Yeah, I think, we had been getting the feedback that it was just too much, too fast.
Okay, cool. Well, that's great. I'm just going to keep giving you feedback then on that. By the way, loads of comments about everyone wanting more Palutoi-inspired things. I'm kidding. Raven.
Especially those like from podcasters in the UK.
Yeah, especially from one podcaster in the UK. Raven, an amazing addition to the line. Love that you've, again, deep cuts, interesting, obscure characters. Absolutely loved that. Has it been like fun for you guys to bring certain characters into the action figure world who'd never had them before?
Yeah, completely. I mean, that's part of one of the things, you know, as we talk about that obscure slot, that slot usually is how do we find somebody that no one has?
Right. Really enjoy. Another thing I was really excited to see, because you've stumped me with Camo Trooper. I was like, what? I mean, I couldn't think of any Camo Troopers at any point. But then what you did was you utilized that Super 7 specific deco snake camouflage, which is gorgeous, by the way. And it kind of has a little bit of a sneaker vibe to me in the way that, you know, people collect sneakers in the different colorways.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
The thing when we were coming back to it is you're like, all right, who's in camp? We were like, how come Cobra never has a camo? Like G.I. Joe's in camo all the time. Cobra never, I mean, you've got Firefly, but really nobody shows up in camo.
Yeah.
We're like, aren't these guys paramilitary too? You know, and there is the blue camo. And we're like, so when we made our custom camo, it was a tweak on classic camo, but with the snake patterns, we're just like, we should, you know, we're bringing it into official, you will.
Yeah.
Like, let's bring that camo on and make a Cobra Trooper that comes in camo. There should be one out there.
And I guess the reaction line's a great line to actually experiment with this kind of stuff as well, isn't it? Or like, not experiment, but actually do it with this line, because you can have, you know, people have got how many troopers already? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you can drop a new one and be like, hey, this is for the hardcores, or if you just like the camo. And and I thought that was a really nice vibe, honestly. And it works really well with the figure too. It looks great. So really, really on board with that one. So that's funny to me that it wasn't sort of like, we want to make a camo for a figure. You were making a camo for the decoration for SDCC effectively first, weren't you?
Yeah, that's where the camo started, as sort of the wall pattern and everything. And then we're like, well, Cobra now has its own camo pattern.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Put it on the figure.
The specific Sumbo episode homages also give you an opportunity to make re-releases of recurring characters more fun as well. Obviously, I'm referring to Duke Skywalker and Snake Eyes in the Arena of Sport here. Glow in the dark accessories again. I feel like it's your mission to incorporate glow in the dark in every wave somehow. If not, it should be. Is that the plan?
No, but it's appropriate to the subject matter.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. You know,
but I love glow. I clearly glow in everything I can. But it made sense and it's appropriate, and it's the same thing. It's like, once again, when you're talking about that sort of larger balance between well-known characters and less well-known characters, it's like, you know, you don't want to go there and it's like, it's a peg full of characters you don't know. It's like, oh, there's a Snake Eyes in here. Oh, but it's a Snake Eyes I don't have.
Yeah.
Or it's a Duke I don't have.
It's also just a really interesting way of re-releasing that figure again, isn't it, as well? Like, it's not, you're not just getting the same thing again necessarily. You're getting other things that come with it to kind of
Yeah, you're getting other things. But, you know, it's not just a re-release, because we have, like, those legs and stuff, those are re-sculpted. It's got the parts on there. It's not a necessarily like, oh, what can we reuse?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, Snake Eyes has a lot of different moments. So let's talk about Snake Eyes and his different moments. You know, no different than Red Laser for Cobra Commander.
Absolutely.
The next wave has my favorite Cobra Commander ever.
Wow. Can you, now I'm going to have to trick you into telling me who your favorite Cobra Commander is before the end of the show.
That, you're not going to get it out of me. Okay. But it's, I think it's another one where people are going to go.
And then
they're going to go, oh yeah, okay, I remember that, okay.
I'm really excited which I'm sure is going to happen sooner or later. I don't know if there's like a rights issue about it. I don't know, but the movie, the animated movie, is what I'm looking forward to seeing Super 7 delve into. So I'm looking forward to
we'll eventually get there. I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I want to get to, because once you start opening up the movie thing, you really need to stay in the movie for a while.
Right, right.
And it's like, well, but then I'm not going to miss all this other stuff I want to get to. So we're going to get to the movie, but it's still a little ways away.
I take it you discuss this with other people, like other people in the team, but is it, I mean, is this you? Is this line effectively your, like, you know, your...
I outlined, you know, the 3 or 4 year, 5 year plan. What, I think it was 5 years. I outlined 5 years worth of what I thought we could do with G.I. Joe in the beginning. Now, as we've moved through it, we've had to rearrange and move and do things. And people on the team, whether it's Josh or Michael Gullen, really help out, you know, and they have their point of view. Like, Michael's really good with a lot of the deep cut accessories. Mm. He'd be like, oh yeah, but there was this book, and I'm like, I don't even remember that. He's like, it's on the third page of the 62nd issue of the comic book.
Amazing.
Oh, okay. Like, you got me on that one, Michael. So, you know, that the three of us do it. I mean, when you're talking about, especially on the reaction side, we're still pretty much in nearly 100% of it being, this is how I've laid it out.
Right.
The ultimate side is a little bit more collaborative, but as we get further and further, it's more and more the three of us pulling it all together, you know, and arguing about why we want our favorite characters involved.
That's actually a good question I want to ask you. Now that wave one and wave two are effectively on the water and heading towards us as we speak,
Wave two will be on the water in March once they get back from Chinese New Year.
Right, I see.
Wave one is on the water.
Say that some of them are on their way. Does that then open the door for another future wave to be revealed, or are you going to? I mean, when do you think you're going to?
Yeah, I
hold
can't,
back on that.
I feel it is wrong, abusive, evil. You know, to put up another wave without having people have these in their hands.
Of course.
People get them in their hands, we're done. We're ready to go. We've been ready to go, but I can't do it till you get them.
Sure. Are we talking wave one in hand, or are we talking wave two in hand?
Wave one in hand.
Wow. Okay. Get ready then, guys, because that's soon. Well, that's March.
That'll be, you know, March, April-ish then. I could probably look at the calendar and tell you for sure.
Thanks.
That's why we have things like calendars.
Just screen reminders. Who needs that?
April.
Fantastic.
G.I. Joe Wave 4 is April.
Okay. Wow. That's exciting.
Because they'll be shipping out basically first week of March. So then we'll open up the next pre-order in April. So everyone has time to get them. Hopefully be very excited about them. And be ready for wave four.
This is great information, Brian. Thank you so much. You should have just screen.
You're like, I'm breaking news left and right.
I know. Woo! I can't. This is nuts. You should screen share so we can just. I don't have to say anything or do anything. Just. No, this is brilliant. Thank you so much for everything, and for coming back constantly. Like, I don't know what, I don't know why you do it, but I appreciate that you do it. It's great. I appreciate it. I do have more questions though. Sorry, I'm not trying to end it right now.
Let's go.
Zaymot and Tomax. That was an interesting addition into the kind of wave format. Did you at any point kind of think thinking outside the box, maybe to do like the, you know, the original vintage mirrored packaging? Or was that like, when you ran the numbers, was it like, this is probably easier to do this?
It was more that it became difficult for how some of our bigger partners put it on shelf. Because I don't have shelf space. I only have peg space. But my peg space is defined as this size. You know, I don't want to make Tomax and Zaymot and then not be able to sell them to Target.
Sure.
That doesn't make any sense. So...
No, that's a great point. And that's something I never would have even thought about, honestly. But is there a possibility for maybe like exclusive product for those guys maybe in the future? Or is that, are you looking at other things basically?
When you say, what do you mean?
Like SDCC or...
For those two guys.
Yeah. For Zaymot and Tomax.
Yeah. We're looking at something else for them.
Ooh, okay, cool. The other thing I didn't ask you as well, last time I spoke to you as well, I think, was obviously we had that amazing, the Arctic Rescue set, right? That was awesome. Yep. We had the fantastic box set Pyramids of Darkness, which had, I'm kind of counting it as like a vehicle. It's not a vehicle at all, but that bloody giant robot that's in there. Do you also have plans? Because obviously it's been like very specifically figure based for a while now. Do you guys plan to do any kind of vehicles or play sets or things like that? Is that stuff you just can't talk about?
There's about 9 competing factions in that answer.
Sure.
You know, the reality is the dog sled pack didn't do great.
Okay.
You know, and that it did okay. And you know, coming backwards, it's like, you know, I think most every G.I. Joe collector knows this already, that half the G.I. Joe collectors, you know, at a certain point go, I don't have room for vehicles, and they jettisoned all their vehicles.
Right, yeah.
And the other half of the guys are like, the vehicles are the best part. And they have every vehicle.
Yeah.
And it takes up their garage and their room and their attic and their storage unit. Vehicles are integral to G.I. Joe in some ways. But you have to be able to make it work. We had a vehicle that we were working on. Then it got announced or classified, and I was like, well, doesn't make any sense for us to make it if they're making it,
right? Okay.
So then we stopped that. We've gone back and forth, and maybe this, you can pull your group or whatever. I have an idea to make the most absolutely ridiculous vehicle that's never been made for G.I. Joe, but you're talking about, it would be scaled for a 3¾ figure,
right?
But it's still going to be like a $500. It's going to be up there with like the USS flag.
Okay.
Not quite that big, but it's going to be, it would need to be gigantic.
Are you not talking about the HQ, are you?
No, I'm not talking about the HQ.
What are you, I need to know.
The point I come back to is that 3¾ guy that could fit their O-ring figures in it as well.
Right.
Are they going to be like, I have to have that and I need that and it's going to be 3 feet long?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to be like, I love that you made that, but there's no way in hell I have room for that.
Sure. I'm going to be just racking my brain trying to figure out
pause this for everybody else and we'll talk about it personally and then you can react off there and then it'll drive everybody insane. All right. Let's pause.
Pause.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Do you know what? I was thinking that and I thought, you can't mean that. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That's the thing. If you're going to do it, you got to do it right. Now all of a sudden it's 3 feet, 4 feet.
I tell you guys, I know we paused just then, but my goodness, that would have been insanity.
I think people would love the fact that it exists.
Yeah, but
I don't know that enough people actually have the room and the money to buy it.
That's true. I mean, that's a lot to drop. Jeez. Yeah. Anyway, well, that were actually my thought process is more along the lines of quirkier stuff, smaller scale things, like things that are in the cartoon, not necessarily vehicles as such, but maybe like little Dio play sets or, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, is that kind of on your mind?
We found that dioramas sell even less than vehicles.
That's a shame, man. Like, I feel like I'm definitely in a smaller, you know, a niche group, where it's like, I'm desperate for like amazing play sets because I love like the display aspect of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, there's a guy that does them for Star Wars on Instagram.
Oh my goodness. I've seen many. I've seen many. And if it's the one you're thinking about, there has been some beauties.
I'm trying to look him up right now. Yeah, the Cardboard Galaxy. He makes beautiful things like, you know, his Death Star hanger.
Yeah, Bob Collins. Like, yep.
Yeah. He makes beautiful ones. I bought a bunch of these from him.
Yeah, they look fantastic. Oh, you see, like,
and he made this, which is, you make that, and pretty much you're in my heart forever.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Like, I'm you see, like, because obviously I come from that era where it was like the cardboard, you know, HQ, like the Palitoy cardboard one and the Palitoy Death Star, all that kind of stuff. I know, like, the Kenner one was cooler. But I don't know. I love that card.
I don't know. I'd argue the Kenner one is cool. The Palitoy one is much more playable in a different way.
Yeah, definitely. I have very strong feelings for those. I actually have the Palitoy HQ, the Action Force HQ. I have that boxed back in the UK.
We made a haunted house like the Palitoys out of cardboard. Did we talk about this before?
No, I don't think so.
Years ago, if you look up, God, it's been, you know, bordering on 8 to 10 years now.
Wow.
If you look it up, it is the most limited, hardest to find Super 7 item that's ever been made. there is a haunted house playset, and it is all painted and all die cut cardboard that you assemble, much like a Palitoy Darth.
I have seen this. I just didn't realize it was you guys.
And we made it, and it's beautiful and awesome, and nobody bought it.
Oh.
And in the end, because they were so big, we had to recycle 90% of the run.
No.
After like 3 years, they were just sitting. They all got recycled.
Tell me you kept one at least.
Yeah, I've got like five.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure.
But in terms of what's left, that is the rarest thing that's ever been made from Super 7.
Dude, that is
gorgeous.
It was
supposed to be a Universal Monsters castle. Yep.
That's
beautiful.
Was
supposed to be a Universal Monsters castle. And then at that time, Universal was like, these monsters don't live together. So we ended up just making it a haunted house.
That's really beautiful as well. Man, I want a sunbow thing like that.
Yeah. So anyway.
No, I know that you're fighting that battle of like, you know, you can make it, but will it's like, is it worth it for people and will people pick it up? And like, I totally understand that. And you must get this stuff all the time when people have their own preferences and they're just throwing them at you to say like, oh, you need to make this and you need to make this. I mean, this is the thing I don't think people take into consideration.
Well, what I always come back to with that is like, they're like, everybody I know will buy it. I'm like, great. Okay. Everybody you know is probably, you know, it's 100 dudes on a message group or in a Facebook group. There might be 1,000 members, but there's 50 to 100 guys that are on there regularly.
Active. Yeah.
And everybody that you know would buy it, but it's still only those 100 people because it's when you leave that Facebook group or message board or whatever, and you walk outside.
Never happens.
You're going to go to the corner store and get a Pepsi or a Coke or go to the coffee shop. Not a single person you ever interact there and on the way back collects toys, much less than collects G.I. Joe's, much less than is willing
Super
to buy
7.
A placement.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's the real reality. I think because we live, you know, and I hate to call it a vacuum, you know. You're right.
It is a vacuum.
You know, a thing. It's just like
echo chamber.
The reason I talk to these people is because they are interested in the same thing for me.
Exactly.
And so therefore, it takes up a large amount of my time. So therefore, I assume that everyone feels the same way about the reality is,
yeah,
even though everybody you know will do it, that number is much, much smaller than you believe it to be.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the fine line. And I'm not trying to say that as a disrespectful thing. It's just the reality of making something is, are there really, really enough people to make this work? And yeah, a lot of times that answer is no, unfortunately.
No,
as much as I would love to make it, I still do have to pay the people that work for me.
Yeah, totally. And that is, I think that's the deal. But what I will say that is positive, at least from an outsider's point of view, is the fact that, you know, we're at like, what, 336,000 reaction figures so far. You've got like, there's a big line and it keeps coming. And then also the fact that you're still talking Ultimates, they're going to be enhanced soon. There's going to be more waves of those announced. Like, as you know, there's a positive feeling from an outside sense looking in, at least.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, to that positive feeling, putting it out there in the world, everybody needs to come to San Diego this year because there's a secret G.I. Joe thing happening at San Diego.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, we had last year was the Cobra Recruitment Center. Somebody's got to do something about that.
I wonder what could be happening.
You know, so there's an event happening, and there will be some new and exciting product there. Be cool. Additionally, because we're talking about all this stuff, you know, last year we had some fun at April Fool's Day. What might happen this year?
Oh my goodness, this is great. I'm very excited. Yeah, wow. There's a lot. It sounds like there's a lot of stuff coming then, Brian. So
April Fools will be, it will be fun. The question is, will people? Is it fun? I want to buy that, or is it fun? I'm glad you made that.
Yeah,
I do not know the answer to that question.
I'm hoping for the first one on that one. This is awesome. Thank you so much, dude, again, for coming on and just, you know, giving us all this great info. It's fantastic.
Oh, I can talk about toys all day long, and I like talking about toys that I like. So
that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much, mate.
That didn't make any sense, did it?
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, that brings us to the end of the interview now, mate. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking to me about the reaction stuff. It's always a pleasure. It's always an absolute pleasure chatting with you, mate. I really appreciate it and your time and everything. I know it's this time as well. It must be ridiculously busy. You must be getting pulled left, right, and center.
Actually, we're just leading into Chinese New Year, so I'm actually having a moment to breathe.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure if you were rushing just before Chinese New
Year. Oh, well, yeah, there's a meeting in 14 minutes, but yes.
Well, I'll let you go then, bud. But thank you so much. I've said it before. I love what you guys are doing with G.I. Joe at Super 7. And I cannot wait to see what you have up your sleeve in just a few months' time, by the sound of it, which is even crazier. So, yeah, I hope you've had a good time, mate. And hopefully get back on again when the next stuff gets revealed, if that's cool with you.
Anytime.
Fantastic. Okay, then. That is it for this installment of The Full Force Redacted. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Brian Flynn. See you next time. And you know what to do at the end, Brian. After three, remember?
No, I forgot.
You have to shout Full Force at the end. Okay. Ready?
Everybody's got their thing. And it's like, am I supposed to talk about the time? You know, is this the thing from Mandalore? Like, what is? I can't remember.
No, after three, Full Force. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Full force!
Fantastic.
Access granted.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.
Access granted.